Morning, everyone.
Hi, Clint.
Please stand and worship with us as we worship our God who is love and who is everlasting.
Roaring like a lion, my God's
surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God's not dead, he's surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion.
Heart of my own heart, whatever.
be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all. Say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. And Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. And oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Pray with me. Dear God, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Right now, after singing that song, thank you so much for your gift of life, your gift of a second chance that we receive through Christ's sacrifice. Please help us to live lives that daily acknowledge that blessing you've given us, and live lives that show you we're grateful for it, and we're not going to let it go to waste. We love you. We thank you for all you do for us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Don't worry, I know I'm a Cree hand, but I don't have a three-point sermon for you today, so it's okay. And I'm going to keep it pretty casual today, so I hope you don't mind. As most of you know, you have to do an internship before you graduate, and if you didn't know that, then you're welcome. Now you know. But I actually just finished my internship in December, and I really wanted to share that experience with you guys. So this time last year, I was obsessed with finding the perfect internship. I mean, I went on multiple interviews, but nothing was the right fit. And then before I knew it, it was the week before summer break, and I still hadn't found that perfect internship. So my quest for perfect turned into a quest for desperation, and I was panicked. And then Professor McKinney told me just a few days before we got out for break that there is a counseling center in town that might be interested in an intern. So I ran down there, and they actually gave me the interview that day, and I got the job. So I was so relieved, but I was also pretty excited because even though it was last minute, it did seem like it could be perfect. I mean, I wanted to work with mental health patients, and that's what she said she did. And she also threw in some marriage and family counseling, which I could work with. And then she slid in substance abuse, and I didn't really think twice about that one. But when I got there on my first day, she enlightened me with the fact that our first client was going to be a substance abuser. And I was less than thrilled, but I figured, all right, if they're here on their own, then they might be willing to change, and I can work with that. And clearly, I survived it, but I came back the next day, and she said, oh, she's like, well, I decided that I want to focus the rest of your time here, the whole 100 hours, on working with leading the DUI counseling group. And my face dropped. In my head, I was thinking, are you kidding me? It was bad enough when I thought I had to work with substance abusers on occasion, but DUI exclusively? I mean, come on, these people are only here because they have a court order. They don't want to change. I didn't know what to do. If you can't tell by now, I had a real negative impression of people with a DUI. I just thought they were the most reckless, inconsiderate, idiotic people on the planet, and I had no sympathy for them. And then to top it all off, I was convinced they were going to laugh me out of the clinic. I mean, here I am, not even 21 at the time, a preacher's kid going to a Bible college. Yeah, they weren't going to take me seriously. But I went into my first group, and surprisingly, no one looked like I expected. I mean, I had the stereotype of these people as low class, rednecks, and I mean, I was in Curry Tuck, but they surprised me. They were well-dressed, well-spoken, and they were even friendly. I was a little disarmed. I didn't know what to do. But then when I had to tell them that I was an intern from a Bible college, I was like, okay, here's where the mocking and the laughing's gonna come in. But they didn't do that. And you know what they said to me? They said, you seem like just the girl we need here. Wait, what? No, no, no. That's not what they were supposed to say. No. They had completely thrown me off guard. And as I got to work with them more and more throughout the summer and this past semester, I realized I kind of liked them. I mean, I really liked working with them a lot. I had even decided that after graduation, I was going to get licensed in substance abuse so I could continue to work with people like this. But then God kind of tested me on that. About 3 weeks ago, it was the Sunday before the semester started, I got a phone call. And it was from my best friend in Boone, and her roommate, who I was also good friends with, had just been hit by a drunk driver. And Lindsay's damages were pretty bad. She had bleeding in her brain and chest, collapsed lung, 5 cracks in her pelvis, and of course, the drunk driver got off without a scratch. But the accident meant she wouldn't be able to come back this semester, and she couldn't graduate in May. And all the negative emotions that I once had about people who drove under the influence came rushing back, and I was infuriated. I just didn't know what to do. All the thoughts of those people that I once had, and I mean, they changed me. When I was in that group, they were good people. They had just made a mistake, and they respected that my lifestyle was different than theirs, and they wanted to know more about it, and I just forgot all that. And when I was in my internship, they had softened my heart. I felt like the Grinch, where my heart was 2 sizes too small, and then it grew 3, because they all admitted that what they had done was wrong, but they used it as a catalyst to change. But I had forgotten all that. I was just infuriated with this one person. And then I had a thought, and it kind of stopped me cold. I realized that I'm no better than them. I'm no better than the man who hit Lindsay. I'm no better than the people who sit in my DUI group week after week. I'm no better than anyone. Sin is sin, and my sin is no different than theirs. The only difference is that their sin had legal repercussions and mine didn't. They got caught, and I didn't. And that's the only difference. And that thought stopped me cold. And in that moment, I remember saying to God, I'm supposed to talk about how we shouldn't judge these people in chapel, and how am I supposed to stand in front of my peers and talk to them about this? I was like, this is horrible. And then he kept reminding me, your sin is no different than their sin. Wow. I mean, why do we as Christians have such a sense of superiority and entitlement? We look at other people and their sins and think, ooh, that's a big one. Glad I don't struggle with that one. I must be so much better than them. That's disgusting, and it's wrong. And I know we all have stigmas and stereotypes we place on people, but we've got to break that. As Christians, we're called to witness to everyone, not just the people we like or deem worthy. And Romans 14 talks about this starting in verse 10. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Whether we want them to or not, every single person will know that God is sovereign in the end. But maybe they could know before it's too late. Maybe if we stopped judging them and sitting in our little pews, they could know and they could reach other people that we never would be able to. We've got to stop putting these people in these little stereotypical boxes because it's wrong. We need to get off our pedestals and take the people we stigmatize out of their box and love them and share the gospel with them because it's what we're called to do. We're not better than them. We were once sinners too, but someone valued us enough to look past our sin and share with us the good news. And we're called to do the same to everyone, not just the people we think deserve it. Because honestly, none of us deserve it, but we've been given forgiveness and new life graciously. My challenge for you all is to think of the people, excuse me, you've been putting in a box and make it a point to reach out to them in Christ-like love. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for opening my eyes and my heart and letting me realize where I was wrong. And I hope that everyone gets that chance and that we can remember that we're all sinners, but we are all brothers and sisters in your name and that we need to help each other out. And please be with us as we go throughout the rest of the week. And I just love you and I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Amen.